This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Green Thumbs. Ray and Lorraine from Canterbury Horticultural Society, out and about in Christchurch. And goodness me, what weather we've been having. Talk about changeable. I know it's meant to be changeable this time of year, but lordy be.
At least we are getting some rain every now and again, which helps with the garden, doesn't it?
Well, the garden's needing a lot of water, isn't it? I mean, things are growing so well.
Oh, they are growing well. Yep.
Skite, what's growing in your garden? What's growing really well in your garden?
I just love seeing plants growing, especially well. Yeah, so the potatoes are flowering, almost ready for Christmas, and the garlic's died down because I put that in about 4 months ago, so that's be ready to pull out and tie it up and whatever.
Well, that's the thing. When garlic dies off and then lies down, it means it's time to pull it out, and you don't want to leave it in the ground.
No.
Because it'll just rot.
Yeah. That's right, yes.
And just tie it up and dry it.
Yep. And my radishes are growing really well, although I'll have to thin them out. I didn't realise how many radishes there were, but I'll thin them out so they'll grow a bit bit better.
And are you going to use those little leaves?
No. And my salads. Yeah. Yes, I could do that too.
Well, you can actually wash the little roots because, I mean, they're only tiny. And put the whole thing in your salad.
Yeah, well, like I've got some microgreens growing, so which are ready, so I add that to them. So
it's just such a waste. I mean, baby carrots, the same thing.
When
you thin them, all that lovely little fresh green is quite nice in a salad.
So that too.
Oh, I'm jealous because I haven't got any room to plant any seeds yet.
Oh, okay.
I've got to wait for things to die off. They'll be harvested before I can plant anymore, but yeah.
Oh, well.
And you're not a bean grower, are you?
No, I'm not a bean grower.
Yeah, well, I've got my beans in. I love going out every day and say, come on, please, hurry up and grow. I like to see them. Once they start climbing up the strings or the fence or whatever you've got them, they seem to shoot off.
Right.
I suppose it's because they get up in the sun, but I think it's because they think, oh, good, we've got something to lean on so we can grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I must admit my potatoes are looking – well, if there's as many potatoes below as there is growth on the top, I'll be very happy with my crop.
Right, yes.
But yes, mine are flowering too.
Yes, mine's got a lot of green on top.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, hopefully there'll be a lot underneath as well.
Well, I think, there's plenty of soil underneath. Surely there's plenty. And mine are Cliff's Kidneys, so I knew they were 90-day potatoes. So I put mine in on the 24th of September.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that I'll have – new potatoes for Christmas Day, which has been my aim all along.
Right,
My garlic's not as advanced as yours. Mine is still growing. It's getting the size of leeks now, so I'm hoping there's plenty underneath as well.
Right, because you put yours in later, didn't you?
I did, middle of August, so August to September, October, November. By Christmas, it'll have been in. I'm expecting that they'll be falling over around Christmas time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So what else have you got in the garden?
I've got lettuces, but I just bought plants, but they're going to be a wee while. But anyway.
They take a while, don't they? But once they really start getting their roots established, they go pretty quickly.
Oh, okay. Right.
Well, do you just take the leaves off or do you harvest the whole lettuce?
Well, depends. Depends how much is there and how much I need, really. Yeah. I'll just go with whatever.
Whatever happens here.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Tomatoes, you don't grow them either, do you?
I've got one tomato plant, but...
And what are you doing with it?
Well, it's still in its little pot at the minute. I need to put it in a bigger pot.
You probably do, yeah.
Yeah, I need to do that and take off some laterals and that. But,
Sarah in our house is a potato grower. And
okay.
This year we're trying to have them... Because we have trouble when we grow them in our vegetable garden because there doesn't seem to be enough airflow, we always get blight. So this year we've put them in great big black pots out on the other side of the house where there's going to get some breeze through. And certainly at this stage, the stalks are the size of tree trunks and they're growing like anything and there's lots and lots of flowers. So we've got fingers crossed.
Sounds promising.
As we said, we're talking before. before we came on air about gardening is all about patience.
It is.
And about routine.
Yeah.
You know, taking out the laterals and all that. And in the end of the day, if you do it as right as you possibly can, you actually do achieve something.
Mm, definitely.
And it's so good for the relaxation.
Oh, it is. And to get the veggies out your garden and go inside and eat them. There's nothing better.
I've been eating my own silver beet. I know people say it's such a mundane vegetable, but, you know, if you just do it for a few minutes in the microwave and a bit of butter and black pepper, I really, really like it.
And it's good for you.
Oh, it's meant to be very good for the CSS.
I'll look forward to doing that with my silver beet then when it grows up.
Yeah, it's good. Well, mine will be gone by the time yours is coming, probably.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, well.
And we've been picking our own strawberries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. And our fruit trees have got a really good fruit set this year.
Mm.
It's, you know, so much fruit that we're going to have to thin. Even though they're thinning themselves quite rapidly, we're still going to have to do some thinning because otherwise we'll just end up with little marbles instead of, you know, decent sized fruit. But it's great that we didn't get wind and everything just on set.
Mm. Right, yeah.
So that was quite nice.
Cool.
And bees.
Lots of lovely bees.
Of those little
bumblebees.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got lots of those around at the moment.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Oh, it is nice. Yeah. And the birds. Oh, I know a lot of people don't like birds in their garden, but I do.
I love them.
The sound of birds in the garden.
Yes, and I love them popping around. And,
And
they get under your feet and, you know, they seem to think that you're there for them.
Yeah, and I've seen quite a few snail shells around, so they've been eating the snails.
Excellent.
Which is what I want them to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we had a chat with a lovely, lovely young lady earlier this week, Charlotte Church, from A Little Bit Floral, a young lady who's come to Christchurch as a new resident and set up a business and so enthusiastic about floral work and dried flowers. So let's have a wee listen to some enthusiasm.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Definitely.
Well, this morning I'm talking to Charlotte from A Little Bit Floral. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and you must be getting busy at this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I think, just, you know, mid-November, people suddenly realise that Christmas is around the corner and
Panic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's great for me because people suddenly remember fresh flowers are this beautiful thing that they can bring in their homes and things start to really pick up.
And last minute presents and things like that. So it's
exactly.
It's a saviour for lots of people.
Yes.
Now tell me a little bit about your background because you haven't been a florist all your life.
No, so I actually came to floristry, I won't say by accident, but it was definitely a change in life circumstances. So I worked in advertising agencies for a number of years, as you do, post-uni, get into what you've gone to uni to study, and I did enjoy aspects of it and met lots of great people, but it was stressful, and I had a health diagnosis that meant that I needed to change my lifestyle, and because it was basically a stress-induced thing, and so I was like, right, what's next?
And so did you think back to Granny's garden and that might do me?
Absolutely. So my gran had a beautiful rambling garden with all sorts of things. She had a huge bottle brush tree in the front lawn, roses, fuchsias, and I'd always liked flowers. So I had this thing at the back of my mind that I wanted to be a florist, and I had, you know, 35 or whatever when people were doing all magical things with their careers, I was going back and doing work experience for free at a florist.
Oh, well, that's great, though. It's good to get a wake-up call like that and do something really good.
Yeah, and it absolutely was that, and I don't regret it for a second. It was, working with flowers is just the most amazing thing that I think that you could do.
Oh, it's a living thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so rewarding. It's creative. You still get to work with people. People are a big part of it, whether it's customers that you're dealing with, whether it's other floral designers, whether it's brides. So I have the best chats, and then I can talk to my flowers as well.
Oh, that's great. So where are your businesses?
So you say businesses. Yes. So I've recently actually, earlier this year, moved down from Auckland to Christchurch.
Very wise.
Yes, I think so. It was actually, my husband was keen to change his lifestyle as well. and move out of the rat race. And at the same time, my best friend was setting up a homewares shop in Christchurch called Addie and Lou, and we thought that a florist would be a lovely perfect addition, right? Yeah. So I had already set up my business in Auckland. So what I've done is I've continued that in Auckland and running it as a studio. So I'm backwards and forwards a little bit. And my dear mum...
Stress?
No. I'm trying to keep that on the minimum.
Good.
But my mum is helping me out up in Auckland now, which is fantastic. She's semi-retired and I'm keeping her busy. And
she's loving it.
Oh, she is. Yeah. And then, yeah, opened up the shop down in Christchurch. We opened in June, so I've been there for coming up 6 months.
Yeah, so whereabouts in Christchurch?
So we're on Battersea Street in Sydenham, so not far from the city. Sydenham is probably a little bit industrial of an area.
Oh, it's coming ahead a long way.
That's
actually
what we think as well. So we've nabbed a spot in there and set up a flower shop that you can come in, and we've got a little cafe in there as well. So we think what's a better combo than coffee, flowers and homewares?
Yeah, oh my goodness, yes. Mm-hmm. So when you said you did your training working for free, did you do that in Auckland?
Yes, that's right. So I should probably qualify that by saying that was one day that I just popped into a florist. Yes. She was like, yep, come in, see how it is. Because really, you have these brainwaves that you want to be something or someone, and you actually have no idea the reality of it.
You don't see the nasty bits.
Exactly. And it happened to be a day or two before Valentine's Day, which is why they were more than happy for me to come in. And so I spent the whole day processing red Colombian roses.
Yes.
And then ended up with a poisonous finger. That's one of the
dangers
of floristry.
Yeah, of course. So you would have had to have stripped all the prickles off them.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, that's part of the job. It's not, people see the pretty flowers at the end of it, they don't see all the hard work that goes into.
Yes, the preparation's amazing, isn't
it? Absolutely, yeah. So, and that's a big part of it. And even once I, so obviously my one day of free labour paid off, they quickly said, yep, there's always wedding work over summer.
Yeah.
So I was doing that. And as the junior and the florist, I was probably the chief flower processor for a long time. And
most important part almost, isn't it?
Well, it actually is.
If the flowers aren't processed properly.
And the changing the water and the... Yeah. And it's funny because my husband's been helping me out in the flower shop down here and I don't think he realised just how physical it can be at times, changing buckets of water. Slightly tedious as well, but also grubby work. You just end up covered in flour for half the day.
Yeah, I can understand that, yes. And because your hands are always in water, so you never have beautiful fingernails.
Well, I don't think I did anyway. I'm a nail biter, so... I'm never going to be a hand model. I can guarantee that.
Not everybody can be everything in life.
Well, this is true. Yes, this is true.
So you've briefly said what sorts of flower work you do. So just... tell me what actually you do.
Yeah, so all sorts of things, really. So some florists specialise in one area or another, whereas I'll probably keep things fairly broad and, what did I say, master of none, or jack of all trades, master of none. I'm a bit of probably that. But I quite enjoy that because you never get bored if you're doing different things every day.
And you like talking to your customers, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And some days I'm in the shop and I wonder where the day's gone because... you've chatted all day and not done much work, but that's fine by me. So I, obviously having a shop now, I do my daily flowers, so fresh flowers, and then we do weddings and events and all sorts of things, really. So
so if people want to do a wedding or an event, do you spend a lot of time talking to them?
Oh, yes, usually. Nowadays, I still like meeting up with brides and sometimes their partners will come along. But often a lot of that work's done by emails now, and that's, you know, it's one of those things where people say, oh, wedding flowers are so expensive. What they don't take into consideration as well is that you've had 30 emails go backwards and forwards in that time and all that communication, but that's all part of it. Mm-hmm. And every event has, you know, you've planned out your flower recipes, you put your orders in, you've talked to wholesalers, you've gone to the markets 3 times to pick up the flowers. So there is a lot that goes into every event.
Do you still do a lot of wiring for?
It's funny you should say that, because the answer to that is no.
No.
And I had a conversation. I've done some wreath workshops, and that's one of the first things I say to people. I'm sorry, if you want to learn traditional wiring techniques, you've come to the wrong place. Yeah. I think nowadays, obviously, there is a place for that and all the traditional techniques that people have learned. But I think there's other ways to be a bit smarter and faster about things now.
Well, just the hours to go into a buttonhole is just amazing.
Yeah.
I can see why they used to, you know, one little bud and a leaf would cost $30 because, you know, all that very intricate wiring.
Yeah, and it still does. I'd probably still charge $30 for a buttonhole. I don't wire, but we do floral tape is still a very useful tool. I use a hot glue gun a lot, which again is I end up with big burns. And blisters. Again, much to my husband's, he brought me gloves and he's like, Charlotte, I'm not going to have sympathy if you don't use your gloves. But I'm pretty boisterous, so I just soldier on. Other things like cable ties that I'd never used a cable tie in my life until I became a florist, and then realised that it was a florist's best friend for.
Absolutely. Well, the last couple of weddings I've been to, people haven't gone for traditional bouquets, they've gone for more dry flowers, more flax flowers.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And that sort of thing, and dyed flax and things.
Oh, that's cool.
Which got right away from this. I can read my wedding bouquet. I had a cattleya book.
Oh, wow.
Which must have cost my parents a fortune, I think.
Well, yeah, and I think there is always a place for those traditional obviously the styles change, but Phalaenopsis orchids have had a big comeback, and they're beautiful at the front of them. Yeah, and I think they give that cascade look that used to be. And that was, you know, the look. Whereas now you get that by using different flowers and beautiful amaranths and things like that drape down.
But there's a lot of new plants around compared to, 50-odd years ago. Yeah.
Well, I think, but things do come back in vogue as well. Like, I think of things like Gypsophila, which, funnily enough, my mum used to do dried flowers. You know, early 90s, she used to do the straw hat dried flowers you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of come full circle because I do dried flowers now. But Gypsophila, people still come into the shop, and now you can use the preserved Gypsophila, which is beautiful, and the fresh stuff's back in fashion, you know, beautiful, just a bunch of Gypsophila is.
And it's a great filler.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of mistakes.
It's not the cheap flower that people think it is, but. But things like that they've come full circle. And I get customers come in now, and I'm like, so do you like No, because they've still got the ties to the terrible 80s baby breath that, I don't know, probably had in their bathrooms on toilet roll holders and all
things
sorts.
Like that. And so when you do events, you obviously the same thing happens. You do lots and lots of planning beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like events and working with corporate clients because often they're a lot more free. You know, their briefs might not be as tight, or with brides, they've got quite an idea. You know, they've got their Pinterest board and they come to you with their 90 pictures of exactly what their dream wedding looks like. And that's great because that gives us really, makes it quite easy to get the look that they want.
And coming from the corporate board, you have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll say, I'm doing an event for such and such. These are their brand colours. And you can be quite creative with that. And that's a good place that the dried and the preserved flowers come in.
I was going to ask you about those. Do you dry them yourself?
Yes and no. So dried flowers, I call them the naturally dried flowers versus the preserved flowers. Yeah. So they're two different things now. Preserved flowers, there's wholesalers that just do those. So they probably around 2019-20, preserved flowers became a thing in New Zealand, following the trends around the world. And they are they're being treated overseas. Well, I don't actually know all the tips and tricks. They generally, I'd say they're being treated in different ways depending on what they are and how sturdy their plants are to start with. So what it means is that you can get a beautiful hydrangea dyed pretty much any colour under the sun that you can think of, which makes makes making arrangements really fun and colourful. And but then there's also the dried, naturally dried, which is what you've always done, which is probably hang your hydrangeas upside down in in the hot water cupboard. Yeah, exactly.
Flowers and those
Exactly. Yeah. The real kind of traditional. And I do some of that. And I find being a florist in the shop, you're always going to have days where you've got fresh bouquets that have reached the end of their life as far as selling. And so tipping things upside down and drying them is still...
Well, roses dry well.
Exactly, exactly. So I do at my shop, I've got a warehouse space out the back that I do a lot of drying. And I also find that things you wouldn't think about drying, I always give them a go as well.
Yeah.
So freesias, for instance. Certain things that you think, oh, spring flowers are light and wouldn't necessarily hold their shape, but I've just created a Christmas wreath that's got some beautiful lemon-coloured freesias, just little accents that look beautiful.
Oh, great. So that's a really interesting part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a bit of experimenting.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's great. Now, ideas for Christmas.
Yes. So,
we just ran the corner. What are some good ideas for people?
So many ideas. So, obviously, you've got your traditional wreaths and you've got your Christmas trees, your garlands, all sorts of things. And I think the more you can make yourself at home out of things you've foraged or at the garden, that's really great. It could be decorating your Christmas tree with beautiful fresh or dried flowers.
What would you suggest to somebody who doesn't have a flair? What they could do for a table centre?
Well, I think everyone's got more flair than they probably give themselves credit for.
Just have to get started.
Yeah, exactly. So most people will have some trees on their property, or they might head to the red zone and do a little bit of foraging. There's lots of beautiful, you know, fir and conifer trees, hedges.
And they have lovely cones.
Yeah, exactly. And just laying greenery down the centre of the Christmas table, I think, is about as easy and as
and
simple.
So nice.
Exactly.
You get the nice piney styles.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what about if you had a mantelpiece, you'd do the same, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can lay things along, or you can create a garland. And one of the easiest ways to create a garland is to attach leaves or stems to a piece of rope.
Yeah.
Either using wire or cable ties or other smaller bits of...
And red ribbons.
Yeah.
Things, yeah,
yeah, beautiful. So there's, I guess it's a great project as well for kids to involve kids in. But I think it's one of those things that we've all got a bit of creative juices in us that we might not realise, and it's just about giving it a go, really.
And I guess... using flowers and dried flowers, especially on a Christmas tree, is quite a nice ecological thing.
Yeah, that's right. So, trying to minimise the waste, I guess we're all into that at the moment, all about that. And dried flowers, I know that we're probably a bit early for dried hydrangeas, but perhaps that's a project you can think about this Christmas for next Christmas.
Yeah, because you could spray them with a wee bit of gold paint or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or something would be really lovely.
Yeah, I'm all about spray painting my dried flowers, actually.
Yeah.
Often getting, and with the preserved, you don't do it as much, but now you've got that option. But yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I've taken gold spray paint to a hydrangea, yeah.
And things like Oh, agapanthus seed heads are really nice when they're sprayed as well.
Yeah,
and it's another thing. It's quite good to get rid of those seeds.
That's right. Do a bit of deheading while you're there.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte, we've been gossiping away here, and time's flying by. So thank you so much for popping in and seeing us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And giving us ideas for Christmas.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Well, doesn't it make you feel good to hear some young, enthusiastic people?
Oh, lots of energy, wasn't she?
This is lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just because this is the last show before Christmas, and some people, as you say, lucky people, some people are getting away on holiday, so your garden will suffer a little bit. Even if you've got lovely neighbours who'll come and water for you, do make some provision to mulch and provide some sort of decent watering for them, because they will grow while you're away.
They
won't be on holiday.
No, they won't, no. But they'll need some watering. So.
They'll need somebody to come and water. We put our pots all together and put a watering system on them, and then when we come back, they're all tangled and you have to separate, because as I said, they still grow.
Yeah.
Even while you're away.
So be
careful about that one. And also, I just noticed in the Canterbury Horticultural Newsletter, the Scorpio's books has the most lovely looking book that would be a great Christmas present for somebody that anybody knows. And I haven't seen the book myself, but I've read about it. It's called Secret Gardens of Aotearoa. And it's four different gardens around New Zealand that are secret gardens, that aren't gardens that are open for people to visit.
Right.
With some lovely ideas for doing things in your own garden.
Oh, that sounds good. Four different gardens.
I think it is four different gardens. Oh, one in Banks Peninsula, I think, and one somewhere in suburban Auckland, one in Coromandel, and I'm not sure where the other one is. But yes.
Anyway, well,
so
that sounds good.
So it's spread out through New Zealand, so it's quite a nice idea.
Yeah.
And it's written by local.
Oh, okay,
local
nice.
Couple, so that's quite nice. So that's you're always stuck for something for people for Christmas,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I'd like that myself, actually.
Well, there we are, pop it, scoop your books and get it.
Yeah, I will. I'll shout myself something.
Well, Lorraine, enjoy your garden over summer.
I will.
And I'm still enjoying eating my silver beet, and my herb garden's going well, and I'm looking forward to those potatoes for Christmas Day.
Enjoy. Well, enjoy those potatoes.
Oh, my heavens, will I be sad if they're not there.
Oh, no, they will be.
I'm sure they will be. Yep. Yeah. Well, you have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, I will.
And Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Yes,
I hope
definitely.
You all have a lovely time eating bountiful salads out of your garden over the summer months.
And having time together.
Absolutely.
Yep, cool.
Well, Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to everybody.